Fantastic. So we are in a new series, but we're on week five. We're in a series thinking about this new season that we are in as a church community. And this morning, I would like to share one of my favourite verses with you. And this is a verse that's really challenging. So if you're not up for a challenge, I'm really sorry, but we are going to be challenged this morning. So I've got a question. I wonder if any of you are like me. Give me a little wave. If you like games, like board games, trivia games, card games, any kind of games. Quite a lot of people that I thought that would happen. That is good. And one of the things I love about games is that everybody of every generation can connect with games. It's something that we've all done over many, many years. That people, when they're young, they play games. When they're not so young, they play games. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I actually would love us to have an intergenerational games club. I don't quite have time to do that. If anyone wants to do that, I will come along and play some games. Anyway, that's not the point. I don't know if any of you have ever played the game Cranium. I don't know if you've ever played this game, Cranium. I used to play it a lot when I was a child. And it's really good fun because you've got different teams and it's kind of a mix of Trivial Pursuit and Pictionary and Rapido and word games. There's all sorts of different things that you need to do to try and win the game. And one of the things that I used to love, me and my friends used to love about this game, was that some of the cards, when you pick them up and it tells you what to do, say on them, Club Cranium. And what that means is that it's not just your team that plays that round. Everybody plays that round. So whenever we picked up this card and it said Club Cranium, we'd turn to each other and we'd go, everybody plays! And we were so excited because actually, when we all played together, it was so much more fun. It was so good. And when I think about these verses this morning, that was the first thing that popped into my mind. Everybody plays. Everybody gets to be involved. And so Jesus, he's walking through the towns and the villages, and he's teaching, he's proclaiming the gospel, he's healing people. And from what we can gather, it's him that's doing it on his own, with his people around him. And there's crowds of people who want to hear about the hope that he has. They want healing. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, and he saw that they were lost. He saw that they didn't have hope. They didn't have direction. And Jesus says to his disciples, you might have heard this many times before, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. Jesus challenges us here to pray for more workers to help bring in the harvest of people, which I'll explain in a minute. He was saying to his disciples, I'm doing this myself. I'm going into these towns and these villages, and I am helping people to find out about God. I'm healing people. But what would happen if there were more people doing this with me? What would happen if I wasn't doing this on my own? I need some more people. And I can imagine, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I can imagine that the disciples are stood there and going, We're people. We could help. And that Jesus potentially is saying, great, you get exactly what I'm trying to tell you. That's fantastic. Which means, go. So in the next part, Jesus sends out the 12 to go and do those things that we've just talked about. And so, yes, we need to pray earnestly. Pray for more people. But it's worth remembering that you could actually be the answer to your own prayers. That perhaps God is calling you this morning to do something, to be part of bringing in this harvest. The harvest is plentiful. And when we say that, we mean there are people on our doorstep who don't know about Jesus. There are people who we can talk to that don't know the love of God. They don't know the hope in Jesus. And perhaps they want to. There are people in our town that feel lost, that don't have hope, that don't have direction. There are people that think everything's all good, but they're searching for meaning, they're searching for purpose. They want to know, is there more to life than this? Which is exactly what is being discussed in Alpha at the moment. There's some research called the Talking Jesus Research. And it shows that 53% of people in this country know a Christian. So over half of the people in this country, give or take, know a Christian. That's interesting. But the next bit is very interesting. What do they think of us? What do non-Christians think about Christians? Well, the positives are so much more prominent than any negatives. Non-Christians see Christians as caring, friendly, encouraging, hopeful, good-humoured, generous, authentic. We're seen way more positively than negatively. And this should give us some hope for talking to people about our faith and inviting people to church. 55% of the non-Christians that were surveyed had had a conversation with a Christian they know about faith. And that shows that 44% knew a Christian, but they didn't have a conversation around faith. There was 1% that was neither. And this shows us that some of us are comfortable having these conversations. Some of us are comfortable initiating conversations about faith, and some of us aren't. And that is a pretty normal thing that you'll find in a church community. But these next stats should give us some confidence about how we will be received. We've got a slide for these. 75% of people who had a conversation with their Christian friend felt comfortable. The vast majority of people were very comfortable in their conversation. It's on the next slide. 22% of people, that is over a fifth, felt like they were missing out because they didn't share the faith of their friend. They felt like, wait a second, this person's got something I don't have and I want it. That's pretty cool. 36% of people were open to an experience of Jesus, not just a conversation. 35% of people felt more positively about Jesus. 41% of people felt closer to their Christian friend. And this is the big one. Are you ready? 33% of people wanted to know more about Jesus. After having a conversation with their Christian friend, a third of people wanted to know more. If you have a conversation with three of your friends about Jesus, this shows us that one of them may well want to know more about Jesus and might be interested in exploring him further. One in three people wanted to know more about Jesus. And that should fill us with some confidence, shouldn't it? That people are interested in faith. And I know working with young people that actually they're quite interested in faith. And part of that is because they don't really know much about it. It's great. They have a blank slate. They want to find out, what does this mean? Why are you a Christian? Why do you do what you do on a Sunday morning instead of staying in bed? You know, it's great. We can have these conversations with people. The harvest is plentiful. And we as individuals and as a church community, we've got a massive opportunity to share our faith with others, to invite our friends, our family, our colleagues, people you meet on the school run, at a club you go to, whoever you know, you can invite them to connect with our church family. And the stats show that a lot of people are quite receptive. And this is a huge opportunity for us as the church to be present in our community, to do more as a church family. Because you see, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, I hope you're not thinking this, but church, it's not a social club. Church is not a social club that exists for its members. We don't exist solely for ourselves. We exist for those who are not yet part of our family, for those who are not yet part of the church. We as the church should be a shining light in our community. All the things that we do are open for non-Christians to come and find out about faith, to come and connect with Christians, to come and explore more to have an opportunity to respond to God. There's so many things that we do as a church family. Like even just thinking about, off the top of my head, Sunday morning services. We're here right now. Cafe Church, Cafe 1821. We've got the bereavement support group. Tuesday at 2, midweek music, kids work, youth work, small groups, missional communities, Alpha, and many other things that we do as a church community. And all those things mean that people have an opportunity to connect with Christians. These people that we're seen as being friendly, as being welcoming, as being kind. They have an opportunity to find out about the Christian faith, to explore that a little bit more. And an opportunity to respond to God if they choose to, and to grow in their relationship with Him. And the beauty of all these things that we do as a church family is that everybody gets to be involved. Everybody plays. Everybody gets to be involved. And thank you so much for all those people that faithfully serve in our church community. And in particular, while they are not in the room, we need to make sure that we as a church family thank our wardens for everything that they've done for this year. They have spent this whole year basically running our church. It's not an easy job. They didn't have a 3-year training program. They were thrown in very much at the deep end. And so let's make sure we as a church family thank them. Fortunately, we do have Ben now coming and they can breathe a sigh of relief. But they have faithfully given of themselves so much this year, and probably at great personal sacrifice. So please do thank them. And do thank the people that serve you coffee and the people that are sorting out the tech at the back, the people that serve the children. Because we want to be a community that thanks each other and celebrates each other. So thank you so much for those of you that serve. You see, Jesus has followed us. We're not just kind of fans. Woo! Isn't he great? We're part of the team. He's invited us to be part of his team, to go into the harvest field and to bring the harvest in. But God doesn't pressure us. He invites us. He invites us to be part of his team. He doesn't demand our devotion. He gives us an opportunity to partner with him. We get to be involved in this church family. We get to play our part. We get to serve. And that might look like different things for different people in different seasons. Some seasons you might have loads of energy, loads of time. You can do lots and lots of things. Some seasons you might have a little bit of time. Other seasons, that might not be the case. Sometimes your involvement in this community is enabling somebody else to access this family, bringing somebody else to church, supporting somebody else to connect with God. It's beautiful. And there might be a season in life where you need to be here to be blessed, to be strengthened, to be inputted into, to be encouraged, to drink coffee and eat cake and be with great people. There might be seasons where that's what you need to do. Please do that. Or if you're new to our church family, please just get to know us. Don't feel the pressure to get involved straight away. Get to know us. Have coffee and cake with people. Join a small group. Get involved in that way. I know plenty of people in this church community, in particular I can think of, that have faithfully served children and young people for many, many years. And actually, some people, it will be longer than I've been alive, probably. People have faithfully served children and young people for many, many years. And as you know, if you know me, children and young people are really, really on my heart. And they need a lot of help and support. And they're so open as well to learning about faith. And they're so much fun to hang out with. They are so much fun. And there are these people that have done this for so many years. And they are now praying earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers. They would send more people to come and get involved. Some people are passing the baton on to a new wave of people. You might be the answer to their prayers. You might be the answer to our prayers, to your prayers. And some of you have already been the answer to our prayers. We said recently, a few weeks ago, that we weren't able to start a Friday night youth program because we didn't have enough people. And you stepped up brilliantly, I have to say. We are now almost at a point where we can start a Friday night youth group. Because people stepped up and said, yeah, I could give a couple of hours of my time. So thank you so much. It's brilliant. But it doesn't make everybody off the hook. There's still far more that we can do as a church community. And in everything that we do, it takes a whole range of people. There is not one type of person that can get involved. We all can get involved. And in my work in schools, I have volunteers that work with me in school who are 10 years old. They serve with me in their own school. It's brilliant. There are 12-year-olds that help me to lead a kids' club. There's 16-year-olds that help to get involved and serve in their youth club. We've recently had some volunteers supporting our work in schools. They're in their late teens and their early 20s, and they've got loads of energy, and we really need it. It's brilliant. And then we've got some people of working age that have that little bit of precious time that they can just come and give. Some that are recently retired that want to use their time for others. And we've got some that have been retired for some time and are still going. We've got two ladies that are in their 70s and they support our youth club. They're part of our team in our youth club in Ainsdale. And we genuinely couldn't and wouldn't want to do it without them. They are so, so, so integral to what we do in that youth club. They bake cakes and they make food for the young people that are there. They bless them so much. And they chat to them. They have that grandparently loving, how's your week going conversation with young people. And the young people feel so safe with them and so comforted and so looked after. And they are such beautiful and wonderful people. And the young people absolutely adore them. And there's another lady that helps me with a sports-based after-school club. She's 80 years old. Yes, it's a sports-based after-school club. She doesn't have to run around, although I actually think she probably could. I do think she could probably beat me in a race. But anyway, she's amazing because she encourages the children. She discusses faith with them. She prays with them week in, week out. And she prays for them outside of that time as well. She helps them to grow as followers of Jesus, and she's such a valuable part of our team. And that should mirror our teams here. People of all ages serving Jesus together. Everybody plays. So could you be the answer to our prayers? Our prayers, Lord, send more workers into the harvest field. You know, even just looking around today, there's so many areas where you could get involved in if you wanted to. Thinking about the tech at the back, I had to quickly get Frank to jump in and help us out at last minute. Perhaps you could get involved. The kids' work, the youth work, the welcome team, cafe church, communion, all sorts of different areas that people are involved in this morning, the worship team. Perhaps you're musical, you can sing. There's lots of ways that you could get involved. And all of the things that we do that we mentioned earlier, they wouldn't be possible without all those people who give financially. Those people in our church community give faithfully. And yes, I am going to go there because Jesus went there. Around 15% of Jesus' teaching focused on money. You might have looked at the Bible and gone, oh yeah, there's quite a lot of mention of money. But this is the first time that I can recall being part of this church that money's really been mentioned. So I'm going to talk about it because we need to do that. As people, it seems to be a subject that we just don't talk about, but we need to. 11 out of 39 of Jesus' parables looked at money. And you can see it all over Scripture, giving, wealth, possessions, money. There's lots of talk. And there are so many people who do give faithfully to Christchurch so that we can do what we do. So that we can reach out to others. We can share our faith with others. We can run all the groups and the activities and the services and the projects that we do. So thank you. And as a church, we give away 10% of that income. We give that to mission partners locally or further afield in different countries all over the world. And giving a tenth away also known as a tithe, is a biblical principle. And it's something that we can choose to do as individuals and as families. Or if that seems overwhelming, start at 1%. Start a little bit. If that's something you feel led to do today. But when we give out of devotion. We don't give out of guilt or fear. It's an expression of love. Expression of love to God. And the Bible talks about money a lot. And I've got a lot here, but we're going to skip over it because you can search that yourself. There's so much we can get out of that. And as a church family, there's a need for us to give. I'm going to be honest with you. There is a need for us to give. Our income as a church has decreased. And we have had to use some of our reserves, which isn't ideal. But the thing is, we don't just want to increase our finances so that we can just do what we do. We've got a brilliant team of people that work on our finances. And they don't want us just to have enough money so we can do what we do. They want us to have enough money so that we can do more. So that we can bless our community. So that we can do more things that share our faith with others. So that we can give away more. So that we can try new creative, innovative ways of connecting with people. Of transforming our town. And you can be involved in that. It's worth saying that if you're struggling financially and this conversation is a bit too much, please don't struggle alone. There is support available. We as Brits, we don't talk about money. But if you need some extra support, we can put you in touch with people who can help. So please do check in with someone today if that's something you need to do. And there might be seasons in life where we have plenty of time and not so much money. And we give loads of time and not so much money. That's great. There might be time where we have loads of money. Maybe not some of us, but some people might have loads of money and not much time. And they might be able to give more financially than of their time. And there might be seasons where our main role is prayer. Where our role is to pray. To pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send more workers. To pray for others in our church community. Our community of Southport. Our world. And you can do that from anywhere. You can do that from your home. So I want to leave you with a challenging thought. We give and we serve as an act of defiance against consumerism. Some people, perhaps, that have been around on this earth a little bit longer will be looking at our world and thinking, what has happened? Why are we so me, me, me? We give and serve as an act of defiance against that, against consumerism, against the world that says, I need to have more and more and more. Against the world that says, I need to think about myself. The only way is excess. We fight against that by giving and serving. We don't want to be a me, me, me church. That's not community. We're community, we're family. Let's do it together. There might be a season where you need to be here to be blessed and to be strengthened, and that's absolutely okay. Please do that. Drink coffee, eat cake. It's great. But then there are other seasons where we could get fully stuck in. We're not here as an audience member in a show. We're part of a community. So let's get involved. Everybody plays. We give and we serve as an act of defiance against consumerism. Going against the grain, going against the culture of our day. So I wonder what your response is to God today. Got some wonderful people that are going to help me out. And we're going to pass a little wooden flower to each of you. They're going to come round now. And I'd like you to just take this little wooden flower. I'm not going to expect you to do anything with it. It's for you to take home. And when you get that little wooden flower, I want you to take it in your hand and hold on to it. And I want you to think about what your response is to God today. What are you going to do to partner with the Lord of the harvest? Is it serving? Is it giving? Is it praying? Is it more than one of those things? What's your contribution in this season, in this new season that we're in, this exciting season that we're in? Are you the answer to the prayers of others? Are you the answer to your own prayers that you've been praying to send workers into the harvest field? And you think, actually, I could do that. Perhaps there's a service team you feel nudged to join. Or you know you've got a particular skill and you think, I could do that. Or you might not have a set skill. You might just be willing. Say, you know what? I've got a bit of time. I'm willing. I could do something. Tell me what the need is. I could do that. Perhaps you're thinking about giving and your response is to start giving or to give more. Or perhaps to leave a legacy in your will so that your money could be used to build God's kingdom even after you've gone. Perhaps your response this morning is to give. Perhaps you have some time and you can partner with us in prayer. You can pray for more workers. You can pray for our children and young people. You can pray for the needs in our church family, for our community, for our schools, our hospitals, our town, our country, our world. But if you're in a season this morning where you don't feel you can give anything of yourself, you're at the end, and you need some additional support, please do chat to someone. Join a small group. Connect with our pastoral team. We are a family. Sometimes we, as individuals, are going to need a bit of support at some point in life. Every single one of us. And there are other times in life where we can support other people. That is how it is. And we as a church family need to be okay with saying to someone, actually, I'm not okay. Please help and support me. So as you hold your little wooden flower in your hand, I'd like you to take a few moments to respond to God. And there's no expectation for you to do anything right now. I'd like to take this home as a reminder of what we've talked about this morning and the excitement of the new season that we're in and what you could do to play your part in that new season. And this week, I'd like to look at the flower and to talk to God and ask God, what is my response to this? What are you asking me to do? And the reason why I'm saying go away and think about it is because I'm the kind of person that just says yes to everything and then afterwards goes, oh, I shouldn't have done that. So give yourself a bit of space. Pray. Talk to God. What is your response in this season? And over the next few weeks, put your response into action.